Pastor Scott Patty says, a mom or dad who loves Jesus should parent differently from the world.
Don't treat them like property or animals that are to be trained. Treat them with love. Treat them with respect. They have feelings. Children have feelings. So treat them humanly. You see, in the name of the Lord transforms the parent-child relationship so that it's a totally new one, guided by the love of Christ.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss-Walkamuth, along with Dana Gresh, for Friday, September 21st.
Dan, it's such a joy to have you on the program again today. We listened yesterday to the first part of a two-part message that was referred to us by a friend of ours who attends the church where this pastor is the founding pastor. Pastor Scott Patty is the pastor of Grace Community Church in Nashville, Tennessee. And our friend contacted us and said, you know, there's been a lot of talk recently about women and the Me Too movement and women dealing with a lot of pain and abuse and things coming out of their past that had been kept underneath the carpet, and now they're realizing these things need to be brought into the light. And then when we go to the scripture and we hear a passage about submission, to modern ears, that sounds like you're saying, okay, men can abuse women.
No.
And yesterday, Pastor Scott Patty showed us
yes.
that is not what the scripture is saying at all.
Amen. In fact, the message, I think, is an invitation for women to get help if they need help, to tell someone. And for that reason, this message is very timely. But I'm not really necessarily in the throes of a situation like that. And still, as a wife, this message blew my mind. And I thought to myself, wow, here is my motivation for how I serve my husband, Bob. Here is what should inform every reaction that I have to him.
Because he talked about how our submission in every realm of life is in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that transforms what our submission looks like from a kind of grit your teeth and bear it to this is loving, joyful service and actually a gift, a means of protection and blessing, which is so contrary to how we might naturally think about submission.
Mm-hmm. I encourage you to listen to the first part of this message. You can hear it or read the transcript at reviveourhearts.com. Nancy, I think it would be beautiful to actually read the passage that this message is based upon as we enter into part two of Pastor Scott Patty's message today.
Yeah, he was preaching through the book of Colossians. He came to this passage in chapter 3 that I'm going to read in just a moment. And he reminds us, and you'll hear this through this passage, of the premise of what the Apostle Paul is saying here, that being in Christ transforms all of our relationships if we are a child of God. And that's something that transcends every culture. So let's listen to this passage, Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. And so, Father, as we hear the second part of this message, I do pray that you'd open the word to us, open our hearts to receive and to respond to what you would say to us through your servant this day. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Here's Scott Patty.
I read a Bible commentator, F.F. Bruce. I've shared him with you before. This is what he argues. He argues that there are other sources from the culture of Paul's day, Jewish and Stoic philosophers, and they themselves wrote similar lists to what we read today. What we read today, husbands, wives, children, parents, bondservants, masters. This is called a household code or a household rule. It's not unique to the New Testament. Jewish and Stoic philosophers wrote their own lists of the way people should behave in households. So nothing unique there. But it is the addition of this little phrase, in the Lord. This is fitting in the Lord. Do this in the name of the Lord. That little phrase inserted is so profound that it changes all of our relationships, not by degree, but to another kind. Being a Christian doesn't mean you just live in your marriage or in the workplace or a father to children to a better degree than everybody else. It doesn't mean that. The insertion of in Christ means that all of these relationships are of a different kind. This is what F.F. Bruce is arguing. It so transforms them that they could just be called different. This means that a Christian in Christ, being in Christ, is so profound. It's so profound to do things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that rather than just making our lives better on this earth, we are actually living an entirely new life. We're not just living by the rules to a higher degree than everybody else. We're living with the rule of Christ in us that makes all things new. Bruce goes on to say that if a Stoic disciple asked, he's a philosopher, he's trying to learn, he asks his teacher in the first century, he says, why do we do this? Why do we live in such and such a way? The answer would be, because it's fitting. It's in conformity to the laws of nature. You're just keeping the rules. But when you ask when a Christian convert asks the same question, the Christian convert is told, we do this because it is fitting in the Lord. We do this for the Lord's sake. We do this for the Lord's glory. And these simple added words transform everything. So first, we're saying this morning, that the key to this passage is a new principle for those who are new in Christ, and it makes all things new. That principle is verse 17. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Cultural considerations are important, especially when we get to verse 22 and talk about bondservants and masters. But the first principle that helps us unlock this passage is not the culture, it is this new principle, this new life that we have in Christ. The first principle is the key. We've seen it all through Colossians. This first principle is Christ is preeminent. He is all and in all. Chapter 1. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Changes everything. In Christ, by faith, we are dead to sin and the old self, the old life, the old way of living. In Christ by faith, we are alive to God and we are new selves. And we put on the new self with all of its qualities of love. We are forgiven, reconciled, and alive. Christ then in us, the hope of glory, making us dead to sin and alive to God, forgiven and reconciled, calls us to a life of putting off the old attitudes and actions and putting on the new qualities of love, and therefore doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus as unto him by his power in his love for his glory. Now, without this first principle, then this whole passage that we just read, the household rule, would be just that. It'd just be a rule. It would just be a behavior, just like the Jewish and Stoic philosophers of the day. Maybe a degree or two better because we're trying to be better people. But without the first principle, we're just pretty much like everybody else, just trying to be better. But with the first principle that Christ is in us as the hope of glory, and now we're out of this new life doing all things for his glory and in his name, means that we live in a different kind of way altogether. Not a degree better than everybody else, but a different way. the rule of Christ in us makes what we do simply a different kind and not just a better kind of the old.
That idea, says Pastor Scott Patty, has a transforming effect on the way wives respond to and support their husbands. We heard about that yesterday on Revive Our Hearts. But of course, wives are not the only ones changed by the phrase, in Christ. Here again is Pastor Scott Patty teaching from Colossians 3.
Then he says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And that's different. If it's the old Stoic philosophy of, you know, husbands, you got a responsibility, now make sure you do it. There's no love there. There's harshness there. You know how it is when you're responsible to do something and people won't cooperate with you and you start snapping at them and telling them what to do with harshness. See, if it's a law, that's the way it'll work. But if it's in the name of the Lord, then a husband loves his wife and he is not harsh. And what he is saying here is that husbands are to serve their wives with love and with gentleness. The harsh husband is in sin and should repent. And since he's talking about husbands to wives, we should also say that just because when we said about wives submitting to husbands, we said that women, it's not calling women to submit to men, neither is he saying that men tell women what to do. So he's calling them to a love and a service. That said, husbands are to love. They are to serve. They are to lead. They are to do so with gentleness because they know they have an accountability before God in this. If this is a rule only, then it'll be kept with no heart and there'll be harshness. But if it's in the name of the Lord, then it makes it a new kind of service altogether as a husband is clothed himself in the love of Christ. He's put on Christ because Christ is within. You see, in the Lord, marriage, in the Lord is a whole new relationship. It's not just a degree better than others. Christian marriage is not just a degree better than others. You want a better marriage? Become a Christian. That's not the gospel. The gospel, as you become a Christian, it will so transform your marriage, it'll be of a different kind. And that kind is where there is submission and service as the complementing part of a totally new dynamic that reflects the Christ and his church and his glory. Don't ever read verses 18 and 19 without reading verse 17. The next relationship is parent to child, verses 20 and 21. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. There it is. This pleases the Lord. You see, the context is a Christian household, assuming that these children want to please the Lord. As the child grows and confesses the Lord, they increase in their consciousness of being raised up with Christ, new in Christ. And so their obedience is transformed into a new kind. It's not just a rule that they have to obey. They actually want to please the Lord, children do, when Christ is in. I remember this happening to me. I remember as a younger child obeying my parents because I had to. I was afraid of them. And then I remember there was a time when something started happening in my mind. I had become a Christian. And now I wanted to obey my parents because I wanted to please the Lord. That's the transformation he's talking about here. And my obedience to my parents as a Christian young man was not just a degree better from before I became a Christian. It was a totally different kind of obedience. Again, we probably need to say that no obedience, human to human, is absolute. So a parent cannot demand that a child submit to abuse or participate in sin. In everything means in all the areas of life and should not be used to include abuse. That's why we step in if we think there might be abuse happening of a child. And you know what else? We need to teach our children because we're talking about children obey your parents, we need to teach our children that they don't have to obey all adults. You need to teach your children that they don't have to obey all adults. There are some adults who are not worthy of the obedience of children. I remember teaching my daughters how to kick and punch and scream if an adult acted toward them in a certain way. And we actually rehearsed it. So we need to teach our children that it's there to be wise. Children, obey your parents. Now, having said that, I go back to the text. The believing child obeys the parent in the Lord, which is a totally new kind of obedience altogether. And fathers, he says. He should probably include mothers here because verse 20 speaks of parents, but the fathers probably is the one addressed probably because he has the responsibility and the accountability to serve this home. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Don't discourage your children. You're new in Christ. Don't give your children commands that just for command's sake. God never does that to us. There's always a reason for his commands and always a good one. Don't give discouraging commands. God doesn't give those to us. He instructs us. Build up your children. Encourage them. Show them how. Children are not property. Children are humans. They should be treated as such. Sometimes I get a little tweaked when I hear the way parents speak to their children. It's like they're barking at them. They talk to them like they're animals to be trained instead of humans to be matured and loved. That's what he means by don't provoke them. Don't discourage them. Don't treat them like property or animals that are to be trained. They're humans. Treat them with love. Treat them with respect. They have feelings. Children have feelings. Someone yelled at you, you'd feel bad. And so when you yell at your child and your child cries and then you say, don't cry, what? So treat them humanly. You see, in the name of the Lord transforms that, the parent-child relationship, so that it's a totally new one, guided by the love of Christ. Then the third relationship is the relationship of bondservant to master. Now, this relationship is included within the household rules because the bondservants generally lived within the household of their masters. I want you to know that in 2010, I was preaching a series of sermons in the book of Ephesians, and there's a parallel passage to this one in Ephesians, and I preached a whole sermon on this one concept of bondservants to masters, and I don't have time to preach the whole sermon today. It is online, 2010, Ephesians 6. It's called Gospel Transformation. Listen to it as we talk there about how the passage fits with the slavery that was in our history. But here's the short version. The short version is that this passage should never have been, nor should it ever be used to justify slavery. And that the gospel is the seed that should end all of the attitudes of the heart that ever led to slavery in the first place. And if there's slavery in our history where there was so much gospel, it's not a failure of the gospel. It's the failure of the Christians. For today, here's some things we need to consider. The situation in Colossians is not the same as the slavery in our nation. Bondservants in Paul's day were so by class or to pay off debts or other reasons, and it was not due to kidnapping, man-stealing, threat of abuse and death, racial superiority, which is what was happening in our nation's history. So it's not the same context. Bondservants were laborers. They were sometimes professionals. They were often teachers and doctors and financial workers, and some even practiced law, and they were caretakers of households, and the person they worked for was called the master, and he was the household head. And in the Roman Empire, there were about 60 million bondservants, and some of the cities made up one-third to one-half bondservants. Bondservants in Paul's day had a way of being released. They could be released from their obligations of service. Now, the new Christians that Paul's writing to in the first century did not find themselves in a system of slavery like we had in our nation. They found themselves in their own unique context. The new Christians of the first century found themselves in households. They found themselves in churches, new ones, by the way, that were trying to apply the gospel that makes all things new. So, for instance, when we get to Colossians 3:11, we looked at that a few weeks back. It speaks of class and race and former religious background. And it says this is neither rank nor obstacle in the church. In fact, some of the bondservants, there's evidence that some of the bondservants were actually the leaders within the church where their masters were. And we see from another book in the New Testament, the book of Philemon, where Philemon is urged by Paul to receive back his runaway bondservant, not only freely, but as a brother. We see the seed that would change the first century relationship, and certainly the seed of the gospel that would forbid altogether the structure of slavery that we experienced in our nation. The point I'm making here is that no one should ever use Colossians 3 and Ephesians 6 to say it's okay to enslave people, or that in the structures of slavery that the slaves should just obey their masters and the masters should just try to be a little nicer. It's not the point. In the structure of Paul's day, where the bond servants were as such that we described, they are to serve in the name of the Lord. They weren't just to pay off their debts and fulfill their obligations. They were to do their work as unto the Lord with heart, pleasing the Lord with the honesty of work, which is the same for us today as we have obligations that we are to fulfill for people that we owe or that we have contracted to work with or that we have employees of. We should work as unto the Lord, not just to fulfill our obligation, but knowing that we work unto the Lord. And the masters were to pay a just wage and treat them fairly and not to cheat their bond servants, knowing that ultimately they have a master in heaven to whom they will give an account and there is no partiality. And if I could just put a little side note in here, often chapter 3:22 and on through chapter 4, verse 1, bond servant master was used to justify slavery. Let me just throw in here chapter 4, verse 1, that any serious reading of this would have ended slavery in America, because the master in Paul's day was to be just and fair, and there was absolutely nothing just or fair about the system that we experienced. Rather than justifying it, it would have condemned it. In the name of the Lord, back to the point, is that it introduces a dynamic into the bondservant-master relationship such that Paul envisions them being brothers in a church so new that it is of a different kind of relationship altogether. Wow. The power of being in Christ. The power of doing all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. A principle that is so profound that every human relationship in a believing household and in the church are not just a degree better than they would have been without Jesus, but are of a totally new kind, characterized by service and love and the awareness that we're all accountable to God. And shouldn't this principle then apply today to our families, to our congregation, to the way we engage in social media, to our friendships, to our dating relationships, to our workplace relationships? How many places can we creatively ask, how do we do things in the name of the Lord that doesn't just make what we do a degree better, but make it something absolutely, totally new that brings glory to our Savior? That's the point of this passage.
I love that, Dana. And I just love the fresh insight that Pastor Scott Patty has brought to this familiar passage from Colossians chapter 3. And we've seen how our vertical relationship with Christ does so much more than just improve our horizontal relationships with others. It actually should completely change the way we interact with each other.
You know, recently, in the last few years, actually, Nancy, I was really trying to correct the way I interacted with one of my children. And it was futile. I was focusing on her behavior. I was focusing on my behavior. Quite honestly, mostly I was focusing on her behavior.
And it's easier to see the problems in the other person's behavior, right?
It truly is, yes. And a wise mentor encouraged me, just step away from the problem and step up to the solution, Jesus. And for a few days, I took some time and just focused on my relationship with Christ. I had the most radical heart change about how I interact with my daughter because I worked on my vertical relationship with Jesus. I realized that in him, I was able to have hope for this relationship. And do you know what, Nancy? That happened at a True Woman event just a few years ago.
I remember you sharing that at the time, and what a significant marker that was for you, as each True Woman conference has been for a lot of us who've participated in it and for the thousands of women who've attended them. And the 10th anniversary of the first True Woman conference is just a week away. And what a great opportunity this is going to be, not only for the 7,000 women who will be with us at the convention center in Indianapolis, but for tens or hundreds of thousands of women from around the world who will be joining us by means of a live stream, specially hosted event. We're designing it this year so that there are backstage interviews with the different speakers that only the online viewers will get to see.
Ooh.
And it's going to be designed so that if you get a small group of women together in your home or your church or another setting, you can go through this conference together with other women that you do life with so that you can interact with them about what you're hearing and what it looks like to live out these truths in everyday life.
That sounds so powerful, Nancy. Is there a cost associated with
joining
the live stream?
No cost for the live stream. You just need to go to reviveourhearts.com to sign up for it.
We so hope you'll join us for this special 10th anniversary. Now, what does it look like to view your marriage through a gospel lens? Next week, Jani Ortlund will address that topic on Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Wahlgemuth wants you to experience the beauty of a life transformed by Christ. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.